Okay, we start Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, Dinei Hechsher Kalim. Before I begin, I just like to mention when we're learning Yerideya, we had learned that no Keli has Shishim against the metal of the Keli. The study, the right side by the table, there's no Keli has 60 against the metal of the Kli. Somebody here, I don't remember who, had come up with some type of formula for measuring it. Anybody remember who it was? It was you? You get it from me again, okay.
I remember it wasn't me.
I didn't have a question about that. Okay, you'll show it again. Get a hold of it, thank you. All right, Kuf Chaf Aleph is Dinei HaGolas Kelim. So I have to tell you we're cheating a little bit by learning Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, and it's in a good way, I'll tell you why. The main halachas of HaGolas Kelim are in Hilchas Pesach and Tofnun Aleph Tofnun Beis, which are the dinim of kashering for Pesach, since Arachayim is before Yerideya, so the halachas are there. As a matter of fact, if you look here in Siv Gimel, it says Dine HaGolav Alibun Halayim Suvim Hilchas Pesach. It's going to say that the halachas of Hagol and Libun are in Hilchas Pesach. So that what we're doing really in learning Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph is getting a more concise reading of Hilchas Hagola of Kasher and Kalim, which in a way is sometimes less confusing because it sort of cuts to the heart of the issue. It doesn't give us all the possible situations, but it gives sort of an abridged rundown of the basics of Hilchis and the Halachas of Hagolah. The Seder Advarim here in the Simen is that it goes from cold to hot in the order of how things are by Leia. Sifal, we're going to learn today, talks about things that are mishtamish b'tzayne, things that you use with cold, and the question of how or if a person has to kasha something like that. Now, I just would like to give a short hakdama to Hilchis Hagala, and that is to make a point which we're going to have again. We know we're familiar with two sorts of kashering. Kashering through Hagala, the method of boiling water, purging taste by putting a kli into boiling water, and the method of libun, which is burning something, putting it in a very hot fire. We're going to learn about two types of libun, libun kal and libun chamor. We're going to leave that for later. The point that I would like to make, which is a hakdama, a basic idea, is that there is a difference, a fundamental difference between hagala and libun in the mechanics of it and how it works mechanically. Hagala pulls out taste. Hagala kiboilai kach peltai. If you have a pot and someone cooked treif in a pot, he wants to kasher it, he puts it into boiling water, kiboilai kach peltai. The way it goes in, that's the way it goes out. Libun, on the other hand, certainly libun gomor, we'll talk about libun kal when we get there, but when you burn something at 800 degrees, you destroy the blia that's inside, not, you don't purge it, you don't pull it out. You burn it up, you destroy it, you make it non-existent. There are a number of major differences between Hagala and Libun, and it's sort of the aleph bays of this to understand the difference. When you do Hagala on a keli, the blia goes into the water. The water should become treif. The water itself becomes treif. So why did you do gain? You're boiling up water and throwing in a pot. If the water becomes treif, then the blia goes right back in. That's a problem with Hagala. And for that reason, when you do Hagala, you're required to do one of two things to avoid the problem. The two things are either Eina ben Yaimai, which is what you have to do l'chatzilla, meaning you kasher a pot that was not used in 24 hours, so that when the blia goes into the water, it doesn't acid the water. And that's the chatchila, the requirement. Someone calls a rav and says, I have a shaila, the keli is treif, how do I kasher it? We say, wait 24 hours. whoever calls, and I tell them, wait 24 hours, I say, oh, it's okay, it took me 2 weeks to call you, you know, until I got around to it. So usually it's a little more than 24 hours anyway, but so one way is waiting 24 hours, and then you can kasher it, the water doesn't become treif. The second way, which is... So you do have to kasher, because Chazal will geyser eina ben yaymei, atu ben yaymei. Look at chili, not allowed to use a keli, a treif a keli, even eina ben yaymei. But when you kasher it, that doesn't ask for the water. That's not an issue. Right. Eina ben yaymei kli does not ask for food b'diya. The other way is to have water that's 60 times the volume of the kli. So that if you're kashering silverware and you put it into a big pot of water, there's 60 times the amount, so you could kasher even a ben yaymai, because the bliya goes into the water and it's batel b'shisha. Those are the two methods by which hagala must be done. We've discussed in the past that today when they kasher at hotels or restaurants where they have to kasher b'nei yayman, and it's not possible to have shishim, they're big steam kettles and the like, that they're poigim the water. They put an agent into the water, bleach or some other thing that's poigim the water, and therefore the bliya comes into the water, it becomes ruined. And the samech on that, I mentioned it's a controversial method, but certainly it works with the evet. That is all true about Hagala. In the case of Libun, it is not necessary to wait 24 hours. Libun, Kal, or Libun Gomer, any type of Libun works even within 24 hours because it destroys the bliya. If you destroy the bliya, who cares if the bliya is ben yaymai or ain't a ben yaymai? There's no shum nafkamina in the world if it's a ben yaymai or not a ben yaymai. But again, Pesach. On Pesach, it's impossible to do Hagala. There's no way to do Hagala. Why? Chametz b'Pesach, on Pesach. On Pesach. Pre-Pesach, people do Hagala. On Pesach, or even after Chatzais and Erev Pesach. You cannot do Hagala because Chametz Asis b'Mashahu. So you're going to put, and Chametz Asis Eina Ben Yaymai. Eina Ben Yaymai of Chametz also Asis. So if on Pesach you're going to kasher a Chametz Dikakli, the Bli of Chametz is going to make the water Aser because it doesn't help Shishim, it doesn't help Eina Ben Yaymai. And therefore it's impossible to do Hagala on Pesach. However, Libun can be done on Pesach. Somebody who travels and he goes to a place where there's an oven that he wants to use. If it's possible to do Libun on a Chametz Dika oven on Pesach, then there's no problem. There's no issue of doing Libun. So we have this Daf Gemina by Shari Surim that you have to have Eina Ben Yaymai or Shishim. And Pesach, on Pesach, where Chametz asks b'mashu. Before Pesach, Chametz does not ask b'mashu. Only on Pesach, there, we're machmir. There's a third nafka mina. So we will discuss how you do libun on an oven. Not so simple, as you say. So we're going to wait, because there are chilukim that depend on shach, shivskat ches. So we're going to wait. It'll be probably, certainly not this week, but next week that we're going to get to it. How to do Libun on an oven. There's a third afkamina between Hagala and Libun. Okay, there's Shari Surim Eina Ben Yaymai, Pesach on Pesach, doing Hagala. The third afkamina is whether it really has to be clean. To do Hagala, a keli has to be clean. You can't be magil treifs. If you take a piece of chazer and you do Hagala, it doesn't become kosher. It stays a piece of chazer. So that if you have be'en of treifus on a kli, you can do agala. You have to clean it from the iser that's on it. This heter, I guess, if it's not in the veil, it's also iser. If not, it has to not be enough to be chaitz. But lamaisa, it has to be clean. For libun, it doesn't really have to be clean. Because you're going to burn it anyway. When you put on a self-cleaning oven, even if there's dirt on the surface, it turns black. It becomes ash. So obviously, if you're going to put in a big piece of tray for food, I don't know what's going to happen in this, if the whole thing will turn black or not. But as far as the practical issues of scrubbing the oven before libun, it's not necessary. So the women scrub the ovens before Liban. It's not necessary at all. You do self-cleaning, and that's adequate. It destroys. Something that destroys, it's fine. So these are the basic nafkaminis din hagol and libun, and it's sort of a hakdama. I'm mentioning it because rather we're going to have it together with the whole pile of halachas later, but it's just the basic that people should be familiar with. All right, let's learn Sif Aleph. We're starting from kelim that abaleya called. Halakeach kelim yishanim and oidek efavim. Somebody who takes and who purchases old kelim from a guy. You go to a flea market and you buy a keli. Kiderech shenishtamish behen kufafim. Kiderech shenishtamish behen oidek efavim kachu hefsheiran. The same manner in which the guy used it, kebaylai kach peltai. That's the way you kasher. Lefikach. Halakeach kli tashmish yishalim shenishtamish behem bitzaynei. Could go kaisais utzlaifiais. If you're going and you're purchasing from a guy kalim that I used cold, such as glasses, cups that are used on the table, or pitchers that are used on the table, ukiyaitzabahen. Madichan, all you need to do is rinse it out. It's arch l'shafshifan heitev b'mayim b'shas hadacha. And you have to rub the surface with water at the time that you clean it. Kidei lohasir, to remove, ulumarek, and to melt away your isser shal gabeyim, and the isser that's on the surface. Va'achakach shayfa b'mayim, then you do a rinse afterwards. Umatvilon v'heimutarim. And then you do tvila, we know hagola first, tvila second. And then it's mutar. Now this is not really a hagola. This is just cleaning it. Because things that are baleya, when they're cold, are only on the surface. They're not beleya cold, and the meila, it's okay. How do you know that cold is not beleya? You may remember. How do we know that cold is not beleya? It's one of the fascinating rushes in Shas. The rush in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, in the last parak, says we learn it from Haman. How from Haman? The Gemara says in Megillah Yud Gimel that Haman said to Achashverosh that lamelech et shavah lahanicham, these Jews are terrible. If the king touches the wine, so they spill it out. And Tosfos has a gear, so they spill it out. V'loy oid ela shemadicham gimel pamim. They even rinse it out three times after the king touches the wine. And if a fly falls into the wine, they take the fly and they throw it out and they drink the wine. So the king is not even as good as a fly. So Zabdarash vice dice from Haman, that a fly is not maflit into the wine. Because Haman was saying, assuming what he was saying was true, that if there's a fly in the wine, so they take out the fly and they drink the wine. So to raya is at the rush that cold is not maflit. They have something cold, that's not maflit. So do we pask it from Haman? Everyone asks. We pask the fact that the Gemara brings this quote of Haman without commentary, without saying that he was wrong. So I was saying that apparently he was right.
It had to be a lesson. He was a rishon, because then you come into the issue of.
It's not only you come into, but the subsef in the tshuva talks about it. There are two major ha'aris on this rush. There are two major ha'aris on the rush. One ha'ara is in the tshuva's chasabsefer. Subsefer has a fascinating tshuva, which I'm sure you heard about a story that happened with his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. In the butter factory, they were cooking butter, and a bird flew into the butter vat, and it was hot butter, and the bird obviously wasn't so smart. It flew right in, and it got burnt alive in the butter. So they asked Reb Nosson Adler, what do we do with the butter? It's treif. So Reb Nosson Adler said, it's basa b'chalav. It's also b'hanoah. You have to throw it into the ocean. You can't even sell it to Goyim. So that's the thing with the butter. They took it, they threw it into the ocean, and Shalom al Yisrael. So at the subcipher, Reb Nosson Adler made a mistake. What was his mistake? That Basar Oif B'chalav is not Asa B'anah. We pass in Basar Oif B'chalav as a Drabanan. And all the Drabanans of Basar B'chalav are only Asa B'achila, not B'anah. So Reb Nosson Adler made a mistake. He was mafsid them the value of the butter to sell it to Goyim. They could have sold it to Goyim. He was mafsid them. So the Sam Sefer writes, Lo Yeuna Letzadik Koloven, I think it's a paraphrasing from a pasuk, that even though his reason was wrong, his psak was correct. Why? Because the butter was by Leia Eiver Menachai from the bird. The bird flew in alive. So alive, it was in hot butter. So Blias of Eiver Menachai went in. So now you can't sell it to Goyim because Goyim are Osir and Eiver Menachai. And I suppose to sell it to feed to animals, I guess animals don't eat butter. So Mamela, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He couldn't sell it to B'nai Noyach anyway. Eiver Menachai is also Bachila. But which Hadar are you going to have? You're going to sell to a guy. The guy's going to eat it. So I guess butter probably doesn't have any other practical use, I guess. And that's what he said. You can't sell it to a guy. It says, the Gemara says in Pesach. So,
off the topic, why
is
David
Machai?
Yeah,
so he's saying Pashtus, that before it died, it took a second for it to die, and it was Belaya Eiver Menachai before it died. One minute. So Sam Sefer writes, what? This is assuming that Tom Kicker is by Gaiv as well, which is also a Chiddush. Okay. Now, well, it's Hashal Bittel, it's half Tom Kicker, the bird they threw away. But okay, at the end of the tshuva, the Chasam Sefer alludes to the Rush. He alludes to this Rush, and the way the Achrayim after him quote explained his kavana, it's a little mysterious there at the end. He says that he means to say, maybe you're going to tie that a living bird is not maflit. Who says living things give blias? Maybe the bird, when it's alive, it's not maflit, and when it died, it's not Eiver Menachai. What's the issue? So the kavana of the Chasam Sefer is that from the fly of Haman, the good Rush brings a raya from Haman's fly that cold is not belaya. What's the raya? Maybe Haman was talking about a live fly. He said Achashverosh is alive. He sticks his finger in. It's treif. A fly that goes in, a living fly that's swimming around in the wine. You throw it out, and it's mutter. Who says he's talking about a dead fly? Vice tais. There's no difference. A dead fly, a live fly. It's all the same. That's the understanding of the Sam Sefer. Sam Sefer built a halacha on this, apparently. All the Achrayim are matriya on this. Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva. He says it's mevi l'degichuch. It makes a person laugh. That living, that something alive is maflit? What do you mean something alive is maflit? If a human being sticks his finger into a hot pot on the soap, then it becomes treif. Basa adam is treif. So he makes everything treif. He says it's maybe the degichuch. He says it's a joke. Living basa chai is not maflit. What? Yeah, he says it's purim tarim maybe. Yeah, okay. But the Stipler has a beautiful piece on this, and the Stipler answers Rav Nosson Adler. He says, brings a Gemara. Now, when a bird dies through burning, the wings die first. The Gemara actually says it about the ears. The Gemara says that when you roast a Rosh HaKeves, the ears burn first. Because ears that hear Lashon Hara, not that sheep are not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara, but is ears which hear Lashon Hara, they get burned first. Maybe it's alluding to Gehenna, I don't remember. And the rest of it later. He says when the bird flew in, the wings got killed first. The body of the bird was still alive. The wings were Eiver Menachai, because the bird was alive, but it was already dead meat, so it was able to be maflit. That's how the Stipler has a shtickle tire. What? How many seconds is it from the head to the wings? If you want, do an experiment with your class. Take birds, put it in hot butter, and see how long it takes to die. I don't know. Why would it be mutter? One second. She should be with kasher. I said there are two horrors on this rush. One is that if it's a, maybe it's a living fly. Some safer dems are that if it's a living fly, it's maflit anyway. But l'didan, that we in the living is not maflit, it's a kasher. What raya is it? From Haman, maybe it was a living fly, unless living flies don't go swimming in wine. I don't know the Mitzvah Sadvar. There's a second, what? Simon, right. So he's bringing a right. Simon is not by Leah. That's the marker. That's it. The second aura on him is Ephraim Zalman Magalius says he doesn't understand the cup of wine as shishim against the fly. So what's the whole raya? Haman said they throw away the fly and they drink the wine because there's always shishim against the fly. How big can a fly be already? A blia of a beria is the same as any blia, right? It's only the whole blia. A flies. There are some that are nice and tamlish fast. Shows that Achashverosh. If anybody had a big kais for wine, it was Achashverosh. But no, I say that the Yidden had the cup of wine, Achashverosh. But okay. Okay. At any rate, it's just an interesting rush. The rush is not saying jokes.
It wouldn't be an Ibiya. This would be 30 days before Purim.
This would be exactly 30 days before Purim. All right, Purim cut. You also have to prepare. But it's not, I don't mean it's a joke. The rush is not the Nagadat a piece of the rush. It's a rush. The Lahalacha and Avodah Zarah Perek Hey. It's Saif Simin Yud Aleph, and he really honestly brings that marker.
Okay, back to here.
Okay, back to here. No, it was never used. Then you don't have to clean it.
You have to clean it.
If it was used, if it's clean. If it's clean, you don't have to do it. You just have to be sure it's clean. That's all. You have to make sure it's clean.
You don't know.
If it's not, you get a paper cup, get a foam cup.
I mean, you have this crust of Israel. Why is that different than Kavish? Is something that stays in the thing for a long time.
Let's talk about Kavish. All right, there's one way that cold is by Leia, and that's through Kavush. So let's discuss the halachis of Kavush and how they affect the Sif. You all know that Kavush means that something is left in a Kli for 24 hours. If it's left sitting in a Kli for 24 consecutive hours, if it's 12 hours, you pour it out and pour it right back in, the whole clock starts again. It's 24 hours. You take it out 23 hours and 59 minutes, not belay at all. When it's 24 hours, then the blia goes in. That's our assumption, Kabbalah Isur Kavush. The question that often comes up is, what is the din of Kavush on things that are put in the freezer? People have Tupperware. They want to know if it's Parav or not. Now, you don't put Tupperware on a stove. You don't put hot things in Tupperware. But very often, liquids are put in, Tupperware is put in the freezer or in the refrigerator. The refrigerator, where it's liquid in 24 hours, it's by layout. There's no shayla. If you store chicken soup in a container and you leave it in the anywhere for 24 hours, it stays liquid. It's by layout because kavush, how are you kumavushal? If you leave it 24 hours inside, that's by layout. If you put it in a hat, then it's certainly by layout. If you put in a hat, there's no shayla. The question is, even if it's cold, so we're saying that even though this sif says cold does not be leia, that's talking about things in which it's not typical to do kavush. But if kavush, it was left for 24 hours, then it is by leia. The shayla is, what about frozen things, things that are put in a freezer? Is there a din of kavush?
Does it have to be liquid
to be kavush? Now, there's no shayla. What? Salads is no kavush. You take the frankfurters and put them into a container, there's no kavush. Kavush is only something that's mamale akli, that on the bottom fills up the kli from one end to the other. We'll talk about Sharpie afterwards. So I'm going to go beseder. So the Prima Gadim in the beginning of Sibbe Kofay says that in the Iker Halacha is that to be kavush, it has to be a davar habinaneya, something that if you swirl it, it like a liquid, it goes back and forth. So I suppose an applesauce maybe also, not an ice cream. Ice cream, when you swirl it, nothing, it doesn't move back and forth. So Jello, I guess, depends on the condition. When it's gelled already, then not. So the Prima Gadim says that frozen things, the Iker Halacha is not Beleya. Then he brings that the Beis Lechem Yehuda is Machmir, and he says Be'ein Hefsid, you should be Machmir, which means if you can afford the Tupperware, so you can be Machmir. If it's your pot, You have a power of a pot in which you froze soup, and it's an expensive thing, so you could go past the Ikar Halacha. The Ikar Hadin is that things that are frozen are not Belaya. That's just as a Priva Gadim. Now there's an important Barabakim in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is Sharat Sion, Tuf Mem Zayin, Sivkot Nayin Zayin, which is in Hilchis Pesach, is Mekel Lagamri on frozen things. He doesn't bring this Beis Lechem Yehuda, and he's Mekel Lagamri on things that are frozen, that there's no kavush on frozen things. Even if it's liquid when you put it in the freezer, but if it freezes within 24 hours, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not kavush, and therefore the Maisa, a person could be Mekel. The Chassam Sofer, who has one of his truvis, he rails against the Beis Lechem Yehuda. The Beis Lechem Yehuda passed it too quickly from Svaris, without Rayas, and he complains that they printed the Beis Lechem Yehuda on the sides of some Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't belong there. That's some Sefer writes. So Beis Lechem Yehuda, I'm sure, was smarter than me, but Lamaisim, Mishnah Berurah ignores him, and I don't know if it's because of some Sefer's tirade against him or because of the Svara. The Svara is that it's not Kavush. Milui v'irui. That's called milui v'irui. Okay, let me explain. There's a halacha which many of us remember from the good old days. A milui v'irui. Milui v'irui, really. Now you might remember from glasses in the house. We'll talk about glasses in the house. But the din of milui v'irui is in Hilchas Pesach and Simin Tafnun Aleph Sif Chaf Aleph. The din of milui v'irui is a halacha by Kavush that you can fill it up with water, let it stand 24 consecutive hours, spill out the water, change the water, do that three times. It doesn't have to be three straight days, even 3 days spread over a period of time. You do three times, and the Kabbalah Kapalta, it goes in through Kavush, it goes out through Kavush. We're not saying on one Kavush, but on three Milo Yiviro. You fill it up, let it soak 24 hours, and pour it out. Do it three times. There's a concept of Milo Yiviro on Kavush. Now, the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchis Pesach, it's Sivkot and Kuf Yud Ches, brings from the Shach in Hilchis Yai Nesach, and the Shach is in Kuf Lamed Hei, that we don't rely on Milui V'Iroi by Shari Surin. It's only a Pesach Tikkadin. Normally, we're Machmir on Pesach. Whatever reason, it's a Pesach Tikkadin. It's a Yai Nesach Tikkadin, but it's not by Shari Surin. And therefore, you don't find the idea of Milui V'Iroi here. Even what we recall, those probably a little older than me remember, that glasses, like we buy, used to use the same glasses for Leshiks and Milachiks, but even for Pesach, the custom was to use chabistika glasses from all year for Pesach, and the minig was to do milui v'iroi. I think people used to fill up the bathtub and put the kalim inside, let it soak 24 hours in the bathtub. Those days you only had one bathroom, so no one could take a shower for 24 hours. But and they would refill it. Moshe, you remember something like that? Ah, no, you don't remember. David, you remember doing that? Your parents did Mili V'Iri? Your parents did Mili V'Iri with the glasses? No? Okay. Nobody's older than me. But it's 72, it doesn't have to be consecutive. So, at any rate, no, you don't remember something like that? Okay. I'm told that that's what they did. I'm looking for people older than me that. Oh, these are the glasses from the outside left. Yeah. Okay. You remember. Ah, Gavaldi. The bathtub, Taka. Yeah, okay. A barrel, you put everything in? Okay. So they did. Did not do it? No. Okay, at any rate, the. That's Milui V'Iroi, that's the halacha of Kavush. There's a machlaikis, the Taz and the Ramah in Simin Kofhei, if Safik Kavush is Asr. If you're not sure if it's 24 hours, Lemaisa Wemachmir. There's a Shaila about glasses. Glasses is still something that people discuss today. There are two issues by glasses. Miliviru is by cheres. Even by cheres, miliviru. That's the machaber. Tafnun aleph. You did glasses, yeah, and achinami. Now, glass. So there are two parts to the shaila of glass. The part that's the gea us in this sif is kavush. The shaila of whether you have glass in which chametz or iser stood for 24 hours is glass by leia through kavush. The mechaber later in Siman Kuf Lamed Hey Sif Ches says glass is not by leia through kavush hariyukim avoshel. The Ramah in Hilchis Pesach Tafnun Aleph Sif Chavav argues. He says that glass is by leia through kavush. However, a number of early achrayim in the Minchas Yaakov, in his pirush on Teres Chatos, his pirush on the Ramah, says why was the Ramah magia in Hilchis Chametz and not in Hilchis Yaradei on Kuf Lamed Hey? Because he only means to be machmir on kavush by glass for Hilchis Pesach. But not for Yaradeya. For Yaradeya, the Kadinim, there's no din of kavush on glasses that are used for kol. What? As I said, there are two parts. We'll talk about that kol, and then I'll get to the hat. But this is what the Michas Yaakov says about kol. Lemaisa, somebody who has glasses in his home today, it's not shchiach that it should be kavush from milk doesn't sit in glasses. For 24 hours, if there's a lady in the house, if it's you know, my wife is going away for vacation for a week now, so I don't know. However, let me just say, the what? Right. It's funny. This will machmir. Most things will more machmir on Pesach. But the mili viru is before Pesach, when it's still a hetera. The lamaisa is in the daki tshuva is the minig of the Peskin today. Someone calls a rav and says, "Can I use the same glasses for milchiks and fleishiks?" Provided, of course, that you clean it well. If there's residue on the outside from the meat you touched, you can't bring it to the milchik table. But assuming it's cleaned well. Are you allowed to use the same glasses or not? So the minig is, the minig ha-paiskim is a hanacha, which is nedaka tshuva, here in Yaradeya, which is that if you're using a glass for parava drinks in a milchika meal and a fleishika meal, that's okay. You're going to put in orange juice, you're going to put in soda, you're going to put in water, seltzer. So to use it for parava things is okay, just don't use the glass for hot milk or hot soup, or hot fleishiks, hot chicken soup. If you keep it that way, so then we'll make it by the glass, even though normally a fleishig thing, you don't use even cold for milchik, we're going to have later here in the simen. But if it's used that way, and it's not borrowed, then it's belay in the first place, so then we'll make it by glass.
Crystal glass is the same.
I think crystal is the same. Now, what about a hat? Is glass belay a hat? So this is one of the controversial issues in halacha. In Siman Tafnun Aleph, there are three shittas harishayim that are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. The three shittas are that glass is like licheres. Not only it's not by leia, not only is it is by leia, but you can't even kasher it. Or that glass is more kuladik, the other extreme, that it's shi, it's smooth, and it's not by leia at all. And you don't have to kasher it. Or that glass is by leia, you can kasher it.
It's like metal.
So it's either seres, like metal, or more kuladik. Now this reflects the machlokes, the Bali Tosfos, what the status of glass is. Lemaisa, the Ramah says, the minig is to be machmir on glass. That's what it says in the Ramah in Hilchas Pesach. So the Prima Gadim again makes the same ha'ara, that the Ramah writes this in Hilchas Pesach. On Pesach, with machmir, that glass is by leia, and you can't kasher glass. Vishari surim, he says, I don't remember if it says Mokim Hefsid or Hefsid Meruba, he says that a person can be makel, that glass is not by leia at all. Now, where this He jumps. Why he jumps two steps? He jumps two steps because it's not practical. Most glass that you kasher will crack. And today the glass is better, but certainly once upon a time, I remember putting hot into a glass and it cracked on you. But this comes up lemaisa blias of glass in a house with machmir. If glass is by leia with machmir. It does come up with caterers who use as a tziruf glass dishes, lemashal. When a caterer kashers a hotel and makes a simcha, all the hotels that you go to, you kasher the ovens, you kasher the countertops or cover the countertops. Nothing is cooked there or baked there. Everything is cooked in the commissary and brought, and it's warmed up in the hotel, and the kashering of an oven is relatively easy. They don't have enamel ovens, they have metal ovens that can be kashered, and it's relatively simple. Libo, you could do ben yaimai, hagolah, they do hagolah and they cover it, and it's not so much of an issue. However, you can't kasher a dishwasher. The dishwashers there can't be kashered. That means that they have to take the dirty kalim and ship them back to the commissary. It's hard to explain what it smells like. The dirty kalim of a whole simcha, these are typically elaborate, fancy weddings with many kalim, and it's a hassle. One of the things that the hechsherim are makel is to allow glass kalim to be run through a dishwasher in these hotels. The dishwasher, there are many tzirufim in the dishwasher. Their dishwashers are not like our dishwashers. It's not such an enclosed area that fills up with steam. It's on a track, maybe some of you remember from yeshiva, the way the dishwashers work, except the yeshiva, they have just one chamber that cleans it, so, you know, it cleans it a little yeshivish. And there they have two chambers that clean it, but it's basically the same system. There's a big suffix if there's any problem with these dishwashers anyway. It's Irui. Irui only goes Kedei Klipa. So what's the Kedei Klipa going to Asa from? It's not clear that it's Asa. Plus you have the soap heter, a number of heterim. So even though we don't allow use of the dishwashers for glass kalim, I think the minig of the hechsherim is to allow glass kalim, whether it's drinking glasses or glass dishes, to allow it to be run through it. So this is just an example.
The caterer's own dishes.
Yeah, I don't think the hechsherim allow the hotel's dishes, which are treif. They allow glasses. You should know that there's something called a show plate. When you come to a wedding, and there's a plate that's there, which is what? Yeah. So that you have to be careful. It's often a treif for plate. Sometimes it even has the Hilton emblem on it. Those are treif. They take it off the table before they bring hat. That's the kpeid of the hechsherim. You have to know not to cut a pickle on it. That's basically what it comes up to.
They've been washed.
Yeah, but they're treif because you put the ones we wash are kosher plates that we wash. These are treifa plates that are used as a show plate. They're glass. No, you're talking. There are two types of show plates. There's the show plate which food doesn't go into. It has a different name. What's it called?
Charger.
The charger that they put under the plate.
Yes.
That's a charger. I'm talking about a show plate. That's a plate. It's a regular plate, but it's put down so when you come, the table is set. But when they actually bring the food, they have different plates. They collect those plates. Yeah. People eat coleslaw on it, they eat the cold things on it. Cold things are fine, no. Cold things are fine.
Like
you don't leave it there 24 hours. You don't leave it there even long enough that it's beleya, it's not kavush. It's just cutting of pickles the way the shadow could come out. Only kavush, 24 hours. You don't leave it 24 hours. Yes, yeah, not a problem. We're talking about now. I bet you shouldn't use it for hot cocoa, and you shouldn't use it for hot soup. The status of plastic is a contemporary shaila. Plastic did not exist until one of the least known great discoverers of the 20th century, a man named Leo Baekeland was his name, who discovered plastics. He was just a very smart man who was not into fame. And I once read a contrast. They had the 10 great discoverers of the 20th century in the 1990s. And I contrasted the Wright brothers with Leo Baekeland. It's a Musa book. The Wright brothers, who took credit for inventing the airplane, patented the airplane, spent their lives running around the world protecting the patent. They were mostly unsuccessful, because even they were successful 90% of the time, you still had 10% of the people competing with them. And one of them died of a heart attack at age 45. And the second one died penniless. He lived into his 80s. He opened up his bike repair shop. You know, here's the guy who invented the airplane. Could have been a millionaire who's repairing bikes to have food to eat for dinner. Because he basically wasted his life instead of capitalizing on his on the invention of the airplane. He ran around the world trying to be jealous of others. Leo Baekeland was the reverse. Well, he discovered synthetic material, and he marketed it. There were competitors that opened up. He joined with competitors. He joined with them. He took a part of their business by showing them how to do it. And he was a wealthy, happy man who didn't have the fame and fortune. You know, he's by Grubin and he's by Grubin. But, you know, he had a happy life. So Wright brothers have that loyal voyage. People know that picture of the airplane, which they say is phony or real, you know, of him flying the first time. And Leo Baekeland, no one ever heard of. Anyway, that's not do Yeridea. He has to do with Musa. It's a Musa Seder. The plastic, the status of plastics. The status of plastics is as follows. There are two tshuvas in the Igros Vaisha. And because of this development, in Igros Vaisha, there is a certain amount of confusion as to what Rav Moshe held. Now, listen carefully and I'll explain. The first tshuva is in Arachayim, Chelek Beis, Tshuva Tzadik Beis. It's very bekitzer. Rav Moshe writes there about synthetics. He happens to be talking about synthetic rubber. It's the same halacha as synthetic plastic. He writes that synthetics cannot be kashered. We don't know enough about them to say that they're boileya. It's a very short sentence at the end of a tshuva. He says he can't kasher plastics. There are some rabbanim today who just say categorically you can't kasher plastics, Rav Moshe. Rav Shimon Eider, in his excellent svarim, English svarim on Hilchas Pesach, quotes Rav Moshe as saying that he was talking about Pesach. The tshuva clearly is about Pesach. You read the tshuva. He's talking about Pesach. It's not Arachayim. It's not Yeridea. For Pesach, we can't kasher plastic. We don't know enough about plastics to rely on kashering it for Pesach. But by Shari Surim, Rav Moshe allowed the kashering of plastic. Subsequently, one of the volumes that was printed posthumously of Rav Moshe's Svarim, in an unlikely place, Chelek Eben Ezer, Chelek Dalid, I believe it's Seif Simach Simon Zion, Rav Moshe writes that you can kasher Teflon. Teflon is plastic, even though it's plastic coating, but you can kasher it by Shari Surim. So we now have already in the Igros Vaisha that Rav Moshe held of this Chelek. And therefore, kashering plastic is okay. The place where it comes up primarily is in microwave ovens, which have become tray for some reason have to be changed from fleshes to melachiks, where we don't allow kashering of plastic for Pesach, but for Shai Mais Hashana, we allow the kashering through putting in water, a cup of water, and letting it in the chamber filled with steam and kashering it. We will discuss, we get to Sif Beis next week, why the kashering with steam is such a double pashin in the first place. But so what's the question? So what's the question? Whether you're making Zaira Del Mapaki, I don't think the plastics today
can make our own.
We make Agola. They don't melt 212 degrees. No, Rav Moshe wrote that to Kashi. He was talking about Kashi before Pesach, because on Pesach we never kasher anyway. We never do it. Right. But remember the halacha that the halacha is we only do agala erev Pesach always. Ramesha the Tshuva writes, not the kasha for Pesach. He must have been talking before Pesach. On Pesach, we don't even kasha metal. So Ramesha held not to rely on kashering of plastic for Chumrah de Pesach. Yeah, yeah, Shimon Ida writes, he spoke to him. Yeah, there's no question. He's 100% reliable. There's no... He was Adam Neman, Adam Gadol. He's 100% reliable. All right, so that is the halacha of plastic. So basically we discussed kavosh, safa kavosh, kavosh of adav acharif, was the last issue. Belia of kavosh adav acharif, you put chrein in a container and let's say it's a fleishiga container, a fleishiga bowl, you're putting chrein into a bowl on the table, and it's a fleishiga bowl. Is the chrein now become fleishig? So the halachi is that a davar charif is by leia with kavush in a short period of time. What is the period of time? The language of the Rishayim is confusing. It says kashir shi'etnenu ala or v'yarsiach. The amount of time that if you put that on a fire, it would bubble. Now that's tough. How big a fire? How small a fire? How much liquid? How small? It's a very, very difficult thing to understand. Rabbi Akiva Eiger even says he doesn't understand. It comes out, if I have a small amount in the kli, it's balea quickly. If I put in lots of it, then it's balea. It takes longer to be balea. Why? Let's say the thing I put in is a davar charif, that's a chametz stick. I put beer into a kli. I put a little bit of beer, it's balea in the kli quickly. If I fill it up with beer, then it takes longer. It's not mistaver. So it's hard to understand what Chazal meant. Kadesh Yudero ala or v'yiz bashel v'yasiach. He says maybe it means a given amount, and we don't know what they meant. The Ashiurim ranging from 6 to 18 minutes as absolute times in various Paiskim, the Chachmas Adam, the Chashulchan, so that it's pretty quickly that a Dover Charif is mavliya maflit by kavush. So those are the halachis of cold. One last din regarding cold. The mechaber shita is that all kashering is based on roiv tashmishai. Roiv tashmishai, meaning, let's say I have, I don't want to get into whether it's glass, so let's say a metal that I use for cold, a becher, I use it for cold. So I make kiddush on it, I always use it for cold. I remember that one time I put in hot chicken soup into it. Once. But I never use it for hot, I always use it for cold. The shita of the Bechaber is you go basa raif tashmishai. If it's raif tashmishai with tzaynein, you kasha with tzaynein. If it's raif tashmishai with ira klirishin, you kasha like ira klirishin. If it's raif tashmishai with klirishin, you kasha klirishin. Because anyway, it's ein ben yaymai. It's not maflit anyway. We're just concerned with a gezer de rabbanon. The rabbanon wa geyser, the mechaber holds roif tashmishai, which is of course a kula. The Ramah says no. If you once used the becher and it was belaya had fleishiks, it became fleishiks at that time. So therefore, he holds that you don't rely on roif tashmishai. The mechaber here is soisim that you go to a flea market, you buy a kli, you can be simach if it's used for cold. That you could just rinse it out and wash it out. If it's something that may have been used for hat as well, it's not so simple for us to go with the Shita Sarama to be Simach on that on a Kli. We will discuss, the price can be a talk about, they don't say flea market, they say buying used Kalim from Gayim. So, Mitzvah Shem Sefei, we're going to get to it. Let's just finish the Ramah and Sefala. Right. Mechaber is going with Shitasai. If you buy Kalim Yishanim, you can rely, if it's something that's normally used a certain way, that it was used. Rambah. Yesh b'kaybe shedagu heter losum yayim b'kelim shenisareya mudubakim b'chelev. Now listen to this. Imagine today if somebody would try to do this. They had barrels. You know what a barrel looked like. Boards that were held together with metal rings. And in the cracks between the boards, they would put something in to fill it. They put in chelev. Something that's an isakaris to eat. Right? Chelev, it's probably chelev the chelev too, so it's like double whammy. So to Ramah, yesh b'kayim shadogu heter, losim yayim b'kelem, shenisareyem u'dubokim b'chelev, mishum sheteva hayayin levreyach min hachelev. Wine doesn't mix with fats. They don't mix. V'chelav nikrash v'aymed ba'atzmai v'aymed negea klal b'yayin. And the chelav becomes hard, and it doesn't mix with wine. Zok to pischei tshuva aleph. I pre begadim. Also, misavadav shvaseis and cotton aleph. Shekasev lav dafki yayin who adin shar mashkin. It's not only wine. No liquid mixes with chelav, and therefore this is something that's mutter. The Ramah, in bringing this, apparently is meikel. The Gra in Sukkot and Bay says va'af lechatchila mutter. That it's not only a b'diavad; it's even mutter lechatchila. So here we have a chiddush in halacha. It's not so negeah to us because we don't have the chelav. However, the Darkei Tshuva brings the Tshuva Smarsham about glues that were used, that the glue was treif, glues that were used to attach kelim, and he bases it on this Ramah, that's not mistavra, that what they use to glue together kelim is something that's soluble in the contents of the kli, because eventually the glue will come apart, the whole thing will fall apart. So, even if it's kavish for more than 24 hours, right. If it doesn't mix, it doesn't mix. Pashtus, you're right. Achinami. So therefore, if you see the fat particles, then you have to skim them off. I think he means that they don't beteva mix. Could they store oil in it? Oil and oil does mix, and that would be a problem. So I guess you would have to know the particular of any item. And, what? Yeah, the glue. If it's pogum, then it's a separate heter unto itself. All right. So this is Sif Aleph, the halacha of cold things. The halacha of hot things is going to be the topic of Sif Beis. The halacha to know is that kabbalah kapeltai means if something becomes treif through irui, then you can do hagola through irui. If something becomes treif because you used it as a kli rishon, or you stuck a spoon, a milk spoon into a chicken soup on the pot, then you need hagola in a kli rishon. However, if something became treif through iroi, it's enough hagola through iroi. Now, it's an important kula. There are situations where people are pouring out of a pot of chicken soup and something spritzes or accidentally pours onto a surface that's parav or milachik. It's very often, it's not even a surface that's easy to pasher by putting it into a pot. You know, you can't take your counter and stick it into a pot. So it's important to know this halacha, that it helps to do irui as a hagala. So that, let us say, a chicken soup were to be poured onto a parava kli, even onto a milchika kli, into a milchika bowl. Somebody took chicken soup and poured it into a milchika bowl. It makes it treif. If it's a ben yayma, you'll flesh because ain't a ben yayma. You have to find a way to kasher it. It's enough to kasher through iroi, which is you boil up water in a kettle, and you pour that water onto the thing that became treif. On Shabbos, we're mechalik. Because with mechalik lechatchila, you're not allowed to cook with iroi. You're not allowed to cook not with iroi. But let's say on Shabbos someone cooked with iroi, only the kdei klipa becomes aser. The rest of it doesn't become aser. So it only goes kdei klipa. But on Shabbos, this is a bishul any amount. So you're not allowed to cook through iroi, you're not allowed to cook through klirishin. There's no difference. But lamaisa, it's only beleya at most. It's beleya kdei klipa. So back a countertop is plastic, so you cash it through pouring. So you cash it. If it's spread the first time, it'll spread the second time. You do the same agola. Kavish kebavushal, you do a full hagala, hagala and klirishin. Kavish kebavushal, is that enough to do? Okay, I guess we'll get to Sif Beis, the halacha of Cham, and the Nitzah Shem next.